podcast brought to you by the Triad Network. This podcast is designed to share trending topics occurring within the world and our communities and bring them a behavioral and mental health perspective.
Welcome to Behavior Health Today. I'm your host, Dr. Graham Taylor. The focus of our podcast today is effective leadership. And with me to talk about this topic is Joshua Taylor. Josh Taylor starred collegiately at volleyball at Pepperdine University from 2012 to 2015, earning two AVCA All-American honors and three All-MPSF accolades. He finished his career ranked ninth all-time in total kills in Pepperdine program's history. Interspersed throughout his collegiate career, Joshua trained and competed with Team USA, competing in Canada, Italy, Argentina, Mexico, and in Brazil. Following college, Joshua played professionally overseas in Finland and Qatar. Currently, Josh is in his second year as head coach of the University of Missouri Women's Volleyball Program, a Division I program within the SEC Conference. Josh is also my son. Josh, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. It's good to be here.
Nice to have you. Josh, you're the youngest SEC coach ever to hold a head coach position. In fact, you've chosen to select a coaching staff of three assistants that are all under 30 years old. I know all of them, and they are stellar in their credentials athletically and the knowledge, trust that you all share. But some might say, you know, you all haven't got quite enough age on you yet. Mm-hmm. What's it like being the youngest coach in the league in a leadership position like this? And has that driven you as a leader in any way, uniquely?
Yeah, I love it. And I remember, man, maybe 3 years ago, I was talking to a coach who I really look up to, David Hunt. He's actually the head coach of Pepperdine now. Right. And we were talking about future. And I said, Dave, there might be an opportunity for me at some point to be leading a head coaching program. And my fear is that I'm going to be young when I do it. And he's very honest with me. He said, you know what? If you're thinking that way, you don't deserve it. And so I said, man, you're right. And I think if you're looking at somebody's age, obviously one of the things you can be bringing up is their experience. And right. I love John Wooden. And he often talked about how if he had the choice between talent and experience, he's going to take talent every time. And something that is unique is that our whole staff is under 30, not just me as the head coach. My wife is my first assistant. She's 28. I'm 28. Russ, my second assistant, he's 26. And my final assistant, Alyssa, she is 23. So
I love it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And I think the big thing that really kind of motivated me to hire the staff that I have right now is all three of them have the same vision that I do for the direction we want to be taking this program in, as well as the way they live their lives fits what we're doing here. And what I mean by that is they live a life of discipline. And at the same time, they are continually trying to get better. There's never a point where they sit back and say, man, we did it. We accomplished it all. Every single day they're trying to improve. So yeah. And it, you know, they become great friends of mine. So I'm fortunate to have them on my staff.
We're going to come back and talk about a couple of things you said there, actually several things you just talked about right there that sound intentional in the way that you put this group together, discipline, getting better, the way they live their lives. It's an intentional way of being, isn't it? And
absolutely.
I think it sounds like you've been very intentional in bringing the four of you together in this way. What a cool synergy it sounds like you must have.
Yeah, I'm very, very fortunate.
Really good. You know, let me cornerstone our talk on leadership today by naming a term. It's Ubuntu. U-B-U-N-T-U. It's a term out of Africa, and it's used to describe the kind of relationship an individual person is expected to have in their culture with respect to their family, their community, and their society. It kind of roughly translates to the concept, I am because we are. In other words, me is a result of we. It's a way of living that some might say is the essence of being human. A person becomes a person through other people. So with regard to effective leadership, I believe personally that our growth individually is really interwoven with the growth of those we are in relationship with. And we might extend it to say even, I can't be all I can be unless you are all you can be. So the better you are, the better I am. How are you building a concept like this in with those that you are working with on your coaching staff and with your players as you focus on individual and team growth and excellence?
Yeah, I really, really like that term a lot. And it plays into something that my staff and my girls are probably tired of me hearing me say, and that's we value you being a good teammate above everything else. And I think it comes back to a situation where I was approached by one of my all-time greatest coaches, Marv Dunphy, and I didn't have a very good practice that day. And I knew I was kind of being a turd in practice, to be honest. And he came up to me and afterwards he said, Josh, what kind of team would we have if everyone was just like you? And I thought, and in that moment, I'm like, man, we would suck. We wouldn't be good teammates. We wouldn't work with one another. I wouldn't be making my teammates better, and I wouldn't be making individual improvements. So I think the big thing and the way that we think about that specifically is every single thing you do either helps or hurts the team.
Right.
It either helps or hurts the program. And I take that very, very seriously. And I think that's even increased my self-awareness because I mean, what I did before the podcast, am I ready for it? Am I getting ready for Florida, who we play this weekend in my free time? Am I making sure that my assistant coaches are doing their jobs? And am I making sure that I'm knowing what they're doing so that we can go off one another well? So yeah, I love that. I think if you're taking care of your responsibilities and being disciplined in the way you lead your life, you're going to be helping others around you.
I really like that. So there really is, we have a responsibility to those that we bring into our lives. And clearly you take that, you know, position of leadership and with that level of responsibility really seriously. And I do know that you are intentional in the way you live your life and you model yourself as a leader. What disciplines and practices have you built into your life that include behaviors, attitudes, even relationship qualities? Extend upon that a little bit more for me.
Yeah, I think one of the things is being in here and turning the lights on. And it's not something that's super fantastic, but being the first one here, unlocking the door, turning the lights on. And I think the biggest thing, the more that I learn about great leaders and great coaches, especially, is a large majority of athletes forget 90% of what they ever said, but they always remember how that coach leaded their life. And I think the biggest thing for me is asking my girls to be disciplined. I'm asking them to be great teammates. And at the same time, I've got to be modeling that behavior probably better than anyone else in the program, just because of the position I'm in. And, you know, I think along with that, it's knowing that I don't know all that much and I'll never have it all figured out, and consistently being open to hearing others' opinions. In the end, I've got to make the final decision, but I am devoting myself to making the right decision rather than having my way. And listening to what my assistants have to say, taking all that in. And of course, it's never sitting back and saying, man, we've done it. There's always a sense of urgency in the way we live our lives as a staff. And there's always ways we can be improving as a program. So I think one of my favorite quotes I've got written up here by Kobe, he talks about, I have nothing in common with lazy people who blame others for their lack of success. Great things come from hard work and perseverance, no excuses. And I think that's the biggest thing. Life gets hard sometimes and sports get hard, but you got to be tough and you got to live a disciplined life if you want to be making improvements.
It's really good. It sounds like there's this theme of, let's not be satisfied. Let's celebrate, but let's see if we can keep that kind of that edge honed. You know, you've also talked with me a number of times and I've listened to the things you said. You said it's also important to you in terms of just one of the attitudes and relational qualities you bring. You said you want to know each player really intimately, and you really want to know who they are, how they are, what makes them tick. What's important about that level of knowing in being a leader, have you found? And really, what's that translate into, have you found?
Absolutely. And I think something that's really unique is that everyone's unique. And one kid's going to be responding to criticism much differently. And if I think a good example is one of my players, Tiana, will take that feedback much differently than one of my other players, Emily. And if I give feedback to Emily the way I give it to Tiana, Emily's probably not going to get better. And that's really frustrating because right then I'm not doing my job. I'm not knowing my kid and I'm not taking care of her by communicating with her and paraphrasing with her in a way where she will fully understand it and apply it to her game or life. So really having that understanding not only increases trust in the relationship, whereas when I get on to that athlete, they know that I know their heart and they know my heart as well. And they know I'm never going to come at them just to do it. That's my least favorite part of my job is actually getting on to someone. But at times you got to do it to change behavior and you got to do it because they're able to meet the standard that I'm setting. And if they're not doing it, then I got to let them know. And I say, hey, you're better than this. We've got to be meeting the standard and, you know, let's make some changes here. So that, like you mentioned, that relationship piece is huge and it really allows for not beating around the bush, I guess, but really being able to be direct with communication to whereas we don't waste time.
I really like that. So that level of knowing, that knownness, you have of each one leads to a trust that they really know that you know them, and that trust allows you to discipline them. It's not punish. Punish is you do something to somebody.
Correct.
Discipline is when you do something for them. It's only in their best interest. You wouldn't do anything to hurt them at all. So that discipline, doing it for them, is something they can take in, I would imagine, a lot easier when they know that you know them, and the only the feedback you're going to give them is only to help them kind of change some behavior that's taking them down the wrong road, or maybe even adding to make them better than they already are.
Correct.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You know, those listening in comprise a wide range of professionals, and I want all of them to have some usable takeaways from our talk today together. So what I want to do is I want to present you, Josh, with some statements, and I'd like you just to share with me your thoughts and your experiences around them. And these are things that others, as they're listening, and can consider as well. So let me kind of rattle these off to you. The first one is determine and do right things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is one thing that I said to Russ, my one of my assistants when I was recruiting him. And I said, I'm kind of changing the culture. And he said, well, what is that? What's the culture? And I thought for a moment and I was like, man, I really haven't quite defined this yet. But what's something that directs most of the decisions that I make with the program? And I said, man, we do right things all the time.
Yeah.
And I think, and then someone could say, well, what's the right thing? How do you know what's right and what's wrong? Uh-huh. And then it kind of goes back to every single thing I do either helps or hurts the program. And
yes.
In that moment, if I identify that this is not going to help the program, it's not right.
Gotcha.
And if it's going to be moving us in the right direction, then yeah, I'm probably doing the right thing. But it's everything. We're on time for our tutors. We are on time for practice. We are communicating in a respectful way with all staff. And we are constantly representing the University of Missouri, as well as the University of Missouri Women's Volleyball Program. So you got to do right things all the time. And the right thing is very, very, very rarely the fun or easy thing. But doing that right thing not only allows you to be more successful in life, but it actually breeds toughness, because when I'm doing the right things, it's hard and I got to grind it out. But in those moments, I'm making improvements emotionally, physically, and as a teammate.
We may not be talking too much about this theme of toughness today, but I'd love to come back and bring you on, because toughness is such an essential quality in life. We've got to be tough. We've got to have grit. And it doesn't mean being, you know, calloused and, you know, salty and, you know, contentious. It means being solid. And I'd love to come back and talk about that, but I love this idea, doing right things. Once you set that up, everything you're doing then lines up with and is in line with doing right things. It's either getting better or getting worse. Let me write out the second one. Mountaintops are small and the air is thin. What are your thoughts on that one?
It's hard to get to a mountaintop. It is very, very, very difficult. And you know, the way that I kind of think about that a little bit is, if you are on the mountaintop, you've reached it, you're there. Yeah. And when you think about the air being thin, maintaining success is incredibly difficult. It is so hard. And to become successful, in my opinion, isn't as hard, because if you're struggling right now and you're devoting yourself to find ways to make improvements, you'll see some improvements rather quickly. However, when you've reached the peak, how are you going to stay there? Because everyone else is coming after you. And at the same time, you're like you said, and I love this phrase, you're either getting better or you're getting worse. And when you're at the top, improvements may not be big. They may be minute, but you got to find a way to continue to get better, because it is hard to stay up there.
Really good. Got to keep climbing. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Continuing education is both a requirement and a learning opportunity, but finding the right CE provider can be challenging. AATBS, a triad company, offers continuing education for psychologists, social workers, marriage and family therapists, counselors, and behavior analysts. CE courses are available both individually and as part of our new All Access Pass. All Access Pass provides a library of over 250 unique courses. That's more than 800 hours of CEs, with new courses being added every month. As a special offer, Behavioral Health Today listeners can save 15% on CE purchases. Visit us at aatbs.com/BHT and enter promo code BHT15 during checkout. That's aatbs.com/BHT. Check out our library and check off your CE requirements today.
Here's another one. Share your successes, own your failures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is a big one for me as a head coach. And this actually just happened in our most recent match. We won. It was a grind. We won in five. So there's a success, right? But the reason why we won that match, to be honest with you, is because my three assistant coaches.
Huh.
And it was incredible what they were able to do in the fifth set when things got tight. They were pouring into the girls. We talked about a game plan that ended up working really, really well because of the information and the preparation they had. And in the end, I made that final decision. But the information that I was given was just undeniably the correct route to go. So although you see head coaches, and the head coaches are the only ones that get those wins, which I think right. is ridiculous. I think it should be the whole staff. But all I do, and of course I've got input, but I have to make the final decision. But people got to keep in mind that there are so many people a part of this program that help me and the program be successful. So to take success as my job, it would be the wrong thing to do. I want to be passing that off to everyone who really grinded things out and devoted themselves to being good in specific situations. And when it comes to the failures, I want the failure to all be on me. I want all of that pressure, and I want all of the failure on me because I'm the one making that final decision. And it can be a lonely place, but that's where I am. And I don't ever want the failure to fall on others because I don't want them to be discouraged for giving their best, even though it doesn't result in a quote unquote success. Those are my kind of rough thoughts around
that. So you're willing to own the parts that don't go well, and it's actually kind of protective in a way.
Yeah. And I think taking this role as a leader, you got to understand that your skin's got to be pretty thick, because in the end, even if one of my kids plays really, really poorly, the loss falls on the head coach.
Yeah.
And I will always take that, because there's probably an opportunity that I didn't take advantage of to help that kid in that moment.
Right.
So
there's
always something that I could have done as a leader to make us just a little bit better.
I like that piece. I'm going to kind of jump ahead here a little bit, because what I want to kind of tag off what you're saying. Here's the next one. Pressure and expectation our privilege.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's when I talked about when I was recruiting Russ, I talked for a moment about not fully defining what it means to be a part of this program. And I'm in the process of that right now. And one of those words that continuously rings true to me is gratitude. And this position, being a leader, can be a really lonely place at times. And, but at the same time, I love the pressure, and I love it. I thrive in those moments, and I want it to be all on me. And I think the expectations on top of that as well, that pressure and that expectation is a privilege. To be where I am right now is a privilege. I am so incredibly grateful to have the job that I have. It truly drives so much of my life. And it's another reason why I am continuously never satisfied with anything, because not many people get this opportunity that I get. So if I'm not working hard to improve each day, what am I doing? And being where I am is just, I'm incredibly proud to be where I am. And it took a lot of hard work, sure. But yeah, it's kind of funny because sometimes things do suck and it's not fun. And, certain situations kind of blow, but the pressure and the expectations are absolutely a privilege. Not many people get the opportunity that I get.
So as you welcome both of those and you don't shy away from them, there's also a part as a leader, you're saying it can be lonely at times. It's, mountaintops are things, but being at the top too is also sometimes as a head coach, kind of a lonely place because you're left with yourself. So let me say this, and let me add this one, next one in. In that it can be a lonely self, sometimes you're having to sit with yourself. What about this one? Be true to yourself. Don't compromise in any way your beliefs or your principles.
Yeah, I think that
even when you're tempted to sometimes.
Absolutely. And there's always temptations around that. And I think something that really sits true with me is being authentic at all times. And I think that's one of the things that creates poise in tough situations, is continuously being my true self at all times. And if you're trying to be someone else, you're probably losing sight of what you need to be doing in that moment to be successful. That's huge for me. People will find out if you are not being authentic. It's one of those things that you can't really hide.
Right.
And I think being your true self among all the temptations, among all the pressure and the expectations, is something that's truly, one, it's hard, but I enjoy doing hard things. And I think it's something that's really admirable. So being authentic is something that is incredibly important to me.
Yeah, really good. Let me toss that in a moment. Something you kind of hinted towards earlier on kind of ties into this one here. Here it is. To be heard, you have to make a statement. The best statements, though, are not always what we say, but how someone feels from being in relationship with us.
Yeah, I think kind of like what I talked about in the beginning, players forget 90% of what coaches say, but I promise you, they'll never forget how that coach made them feel in those moments. And I think the big thing is I want, when my girls go out there, to know that because of the relationship we developed, they know my heart, I know theirs, and I put them in tough situations and I've expected highly of them, that they can go out there. And when I say, hey, I believe in you, I want them to be like, I'm Superwoman. And,
I have a superpower. My coach says I do.
I can fly. And you know, that's the way I want it to be. You'll never forget someone and how they made you feel. You're really probably going to forget about what they say because things normally go in one ear and out the other. When it comes to developing that relationship, pushing them in hard situations and going through hard situations together, it's a way of being, right? And I'm talking about modeling that behavior of being disciplined and at the same time knowing my girl's heart. And I think that really allows for, like you said, the quote unquote statement to be made. It's not something that's said, it's the way you make that individual feel think back to when I had that relationship with Josh Taylor. I want them to feel good and powerful and, you know, confident in themselves.
Really good. So that takeaway is really something that begins to, the way you mirrored them, we use that term in psychology a lot in our development. The idea of mirroring is so important in our lives. We get it from our parents growing up, but we can also have corrective and additional mirroring from those other adults around us. Sometimes those are a little bit older than us, people in leadership positions, et cetera. This idea that mirroring continues to shape how we get to understand and see ourselves and discover ourselves. And that's really kind of what you're talking about here in leadership. But let me wind down this little exercise we're doing right now with one last thing, one last statement. You have to earn the right to lead. So in earning that right to lead, what are you willing to do, or what are you willing to control, or what extents are you willing to go to inspire those around you to follow you and give at the same level that you're working to give?
Yeah, I agree with you. And something that I say to the girls a lot is you got to earn the right to be proud and confident. And
yes.
I agree with you that you got to earn the right to lead. And I think one of my favorite diagrams is there's two different kinds of leaders. There's one that sits on the throne and has his followers or team members, whatever, pulling the throne. But there's another leader who's at the front of the rope, leading those that he's leading, pulling the throne along, and he's leading the way. And I think that's the way with a leader lives their life. And we talked about living disciplined and being here, turn the lights on, modeling the behavior that I want to be seeing. And also, I think the biggest thing, especially in sport and life, you're going to face a ton of really hard things, a ton of really tough moments. And when those moments hit, you better believe every single person in this program, first thing they do is look right at me. How is he handling it? Like, this situation really sucks. What is he going to do?
Right.
We've got to follow him. Am I going to feel comfortable doing so with the way he's leading his life in a tough situation? So really, it goes, again, all the way back to the beginning here of doing those right things, especially when situations get hard. Are you going to be a phoenix rising from the ashes, or are you going to be one of those people who crumbles under the pressure and really kind of falls victim to his own emotions? And I think in those moments, I've done my best to be incredibly self-aware and understand that, again, everything I do either helps or hurts the program. And most things that I do, everyone's paying attention to. So I've got to be leading in the right way, and I got to be someone worthy of my girls being willing to follow.
You're identifying that piece where people are going to look to leaders. I mean, well, that's kind of that goes without saying, of course, but when things get really tough, they're going to be looking at the leaders to say what happens. It's very similar. Like when a child falls down, they get a little busted up, and the first thing they do is they look at their parent. And if the parent's kind of going, holy cow, the child's going to go, oh, something here is not okay. And they start to cry. And they get afraid because the parent basically is defining the reality in that moment. What you're saying, though, it's also like the child who falls down and the parent says, hey, come here. And kind of puts them on their lap and kind of dusts them off a little bit, you know, and kind of pats them on the bottom and sends them off, says, you're okay. not to minimize their pain, but to say it's going to be all right. That's what you're saying here, is how they look at you in those tough moments is going to define for them how they get to see that tough moment and how they get to trust that it's going to be all right.
Absolutely. Yeah. And to be honest, in those tough moments too, especially this year with COVID going on and all the racial injustice and all that, these athletes want to be met where they are at with their leader, if that makes sense. So an example is when we heard that our season was going to be all out of whack because of COVID, I met with the team and I said, this sucks. This is not fun for you. You guys don't deserve this. And I'm incredibly frustrated that your experience is being tainted by this. And there are a lot of things that we cannot control in this situation, but I promise you, if we control those controllables, we can make the most of this and we can find a way to put meaning and give meaning to this season, as well as, you know, the things that we're going to have to grind through. We can make some fantastic memories in tough situations if we're taking care of what we can take care of. But I think the biggest thing that I've noticed is you got to meet people where they're at, and they're not going to be where you are because they are experiencing the world in a much different way. But meeting them where they're at really allowed for that individual connection to be built, as well as my connection as a leader with the group.
You're describing this idea of being able to be emotionally attuned to, empathically attuned to, where folks are at, being able to maybe normalize what's going on for them, to validate what's going on for them. Mm-hmm. That also goes into that whole sense of knowing. And I think it's also a trust building piece, like, wow, you really get us, or you really get me. Mm-hmm. And we can't change some things here, but at least we're all in together. And maybe we can find our way through the things that we can control. And I love that idea. Find the things you can control and seize them with this kung fu grip that lets you get through them in a very successful way. You know, I want to remind our listeners that we're using a lot of sports analogies, but these analogies, these strategies, these ways of thinking, attitudes, behaviors, relational qualities, these are generalizable to all parts of our lives, aren't they? Every part of our life right now can include aspects of these qualities that we're talking about. So I'd love, if you're outside of sports, that's fine, but find ways that we can apply and think about these qualities that we're discussing today into the leadership positions that you have. Folks, pardon the interruption, but we'll conclude this discussion in our next episode. I want to thank my guest, Josh Taylor, and we want to thank you, our listeners, as always, for tuning in today. And we look forward to having you join us next time on Behavior Health Today.
We appreciate all the support from our community. And if you like our show, one of the best ways you can support it is by giving us a 5-star rating and leaving a review. Behavioral Health Today is a podcast part of the Tribe Network, all rights reserved.